Hello again and welcome to another edition of Dakota Digest. I'm Nate Weck and thanks for joining me once again. Here is the top radio news of South Dakota Public Broadcasting for the week ending June 17th, 2016. As it relates to the Orlando nightclub shooting from last weekend, SDPB's Lori Walsh spoke with Ashley Gatiss, the Director of Operations for the Sioux Falls Center for Equality, to get her thoughts on how the attack affects the LGBT community.
In the United States here, we're almost becoming numb to the idea of mass shootings. And so when my phone was first, you know, buzzing and beeping in the middle of the night, with breaking news, I glanced at it and just kind of huffed and, you know, turned over and tried to get back to sleep. It wasn't until the morning that I realized that this was the LGBT community. And I think that just like when there was, you know, mass shooting at Sandy Hook, that's when, you know, parents and people who are close to children really felt the impact personally, and that's exactly what the LGBT community is feeling.
To hear the full interview, visit us online at sdpb.org. A Lakota elder who is the only known Native American military pilot to serve in World War II has been honored by a national Native American women's group. SDPB's Jim Kent attended the ceremony to ask Native women what makes Millie Rexroth a role model in her community.
Traditional Lakota singers offer an honoring song as 100 Native women and guests gather at Black Hills State University to acknowledge World War II veteran Millie Rexroth. The 98-year-old Oglala Sioux tribal member was one of 1,074 Women's Air Force Service Pilots, or WASPs, who served in the Army Air Force. They didn't go into combat, but they did pull targets for anti-aircraft batteries to practice on. WASPs also ferried planes and personnel. Georgia Pedro is president of the North American Indian Women's Association. Pedro describes Millie Rexroth as a very loving, caring person with a wonderful sense of humor. But in her role as a U.S. Army Air Force pilot, Pedro says Millie carried on the Native American tradition of women warriors.
Just think, too, women of her, you know, her time in the 1940s is just outstanding. That she was just a brave person, just underneath, with not even thinking, I can't do something because I'm a woman. But she, to me, is just one of a strong warrior, a strong woman warrior, without even being there to receive accolades for it.
Millie Rexroth is a past member and New Mexico chapter president of the North American Indian Women's Association. Although Millie wasn't able to attend her honoring ceremony, women from the group traveled to Millie's South Dakota home to present her with an afghan and a carved statue of a traditional Lakota woman. Marcella LeBeau is a Lakota elder from the Cheyenne River Sioux Reservation. She was an Army nurse during World War II at Normandy and the Battle of the Bulge and has known Millie Rexroth for years.
She is such a delightful, intelligent, and awesome lady. I just worship her.
Marcella LeBeau considers Millie Rexroth's service as an Air Force pilot as one of the greatest accomplishments for Lakota women. LeBeau also sees Millie as a role model for Native women of all ages.
With a tap of a finger, new apps allow users to easily hail a ride from local drivers. These new rideshare programs are popular in major cities, but none have clear plans for South Dakota. SDPB's Ali Konofchinsky has more.
This year, South Dakota lawmakers gave a green light to Uber and other rideshare companies who want to operate in the state. A new law that paves the way for rideshare apps in South Dakota takes effect July 1st. But so far, no major companies have announced definite plans to set up shop here. Mark Willitson is a member of the State House of Representatives. He supported pro-rideshare legislation this session. Willitson says he worked with Sioux Falls to change insurance laws previously preventing rideshare programs from functioning. Willitson is a full-time insurance agent, and he says most people don't think about the issue of insurance when it comes to companies like Uber and Lyft.
There are some, you know, key things that have to go into play so that if during the course of that ride there's an accident and somebody's injured or worse, we know what insurance is going to pay and, you know, who's going to be responsible for what on there. And so that's what the bulk of the bill dealt with.
Willitson expects similar rideshare companies to express more interest in South Dakota communities once a major company like Uber establishes itself in Sioux Falls. Rex Rolfing is a city council member in Sioux Falls. He says the city has been in contact with Uber since the legislative bill began, but doesn't know when the company plans to begin operations. Rolfing looks forward to the many benefits of rideshare programs for the city and state.
It is very convenient for people to be able to use their iPhone to hail a cab. It will be a good thing for many people in downtown Sioux Falls, especially when they are looking for rides home after perhaps having too much to drink.
Carla Jacobs with Uber says they have only expressed interest in coming to Sioux Falls, but currently do not have a specific timeline. Paige Thelen with rideshare company Lyft has not yet expressed any plans for launching in South Dakota.
Officials with the South Dakota Division of Criminal Investigation continue to look into an incident involving a sparkler bomb found on the roof of the Aberdeen American News. As SDPB's Jennifer Jones reports, they're going to review security footage from the building. But officials don't think this is a malicious act.
The sparkler bomb was found last month by someone working on the roof of the Aberdeen American News. Captain Jay Tobin with the Aberdeen Police Department says the device is basically a bunch of 4th of July type sparklers taped together. He says sparkler bombs are fairly common and have previously been set off in alleys in town. American News publisher Corey Bollinger says there's no indication the bomb was a malicious attack. He says the device could have been placed any time during a three-week period. Officials with DCI are looking at security footage soon.
We reviewed them. We looked through them after the incident, trying to see if we could see somebody or something, throwing the device on our roof. But maybe they'll see something we didn't see. I mean, it's a long span to look at time-wise.
Bollinger says the building was not evacuated when the sparkler bomb was found. The device has since been destroyed.
The Sioux Falls City Council tabled two measures that deal with the rights of LGBTQ individuals. The proposed ordinances make it illegal for employers or landlords to discriminate against people based on their sexual orientation or preference. SDPB's Levi Gutz reports.
The first measure bans hiring discrimination for city employees. The other proposal bars landlords, private employers, and business owners from discriminating against lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender people. City Council Member Christine Erickson says the measures were tabled after talks with State Attorney General Marty Jackley.
It is somewhat unprecedented for a city to be a trailblazer on an issue like this, and usually we look for the state's direction and also the federal government's direction when it comes to topics of this magnitude. And so we're really looking for that direction from the state and making sure that we are working together as a whole with the state and having consistent language throughout the state of South Dakota and not just a city-by-city basis.
However, not everyone agrees that the measure should be put on hold. City Council Member Michelle Erpenbach was the only member to vote no on tabling both proposals. She says this decision should be kept local.
Let's make these decisions for ourselves. Let's look at our own values and our own understanding of the people that we live with, the people that are our neighbors and friends, and let's make those decisions for ourselves. And so for me, that's it. It's really about some fear, some uncertainty, and then really that complication of what this whole topic is about for so many people.
Both Erickson and Erpenbach agree that it will take time before the process works itself out. Erpenbach hopes that at least one of the measures could come back for a vote by the fall.
Last week, presumptive presidential nominee Donald Trump decidedly won in South Dakota. He has all but locked up the nomination to run for president on the GOP ticket. The state Republicans will send 26 delegates to the party convention in Cleveland in mid-July. State GOP officials call the gathering a rally for conservative ideas. SDPB's Lee Strubinger has more.
If you would have asked any Republican official, even a few months ago, they would have said they expected an open convention come July. But the dust settled early, and Donald Trump emerged as the presumptive nominee, wiping out any chance of the first contested convention in 40 years. Ryan Budmeyer is the executive director for South Dakota's Republican Party. He says South Dakota delegates are duty-bound to Donald Trump.
With our Republican delegates, they were elected back in March, but they don't run for any individual candidate. They are unbound until the election, the primary election in South Dakota that took place on June 7th. And so they are required and sign an oath to vote for whoever wins the South Dakota primary.
Budmeyer says since Trump has more or less secured the nomination, he should get elected as the nominee for president on the first ballot. He says the process for selecting this year's GOP candidate has turned out like the last several presidential elections.
The last contested convention where it wasn't locked up would have been Gerald Ford in 76. And so essentially every convention since then, the Republican presidential nominee has been decided going into the convention.
Budmeyer says after the Republican Party's presidential candidate is elected, the rest of the convention is largely symbolic.
Officials with the National Weather Service in Rapid City say a tornado that touched down near Hermosa on Monday was an EF2. Meteorologist Melissa Smith says the tornado was on the ground for about 6 miles in 12 minutes.
There was numerous pine trees that were snapped. As it tracked northeast, there were several power poles right along Highway 79, just north of Hermosa, that were snapped. And then as it entered the Spring Creek Acres subdivision, several homes were badly damaged, and many of the outbuildings were destroyed.
Smith says winds within the storm were between 120 and 125 miles per hour. She says there were no known injuries. A report from the U.S. Department of Education shows that preschool teachers earn significantly less than kindergarten and elementary educators, even in states that provide funding for early childhood programs. SDPB's Aaron Myros has more on this story.
In South Dakota, the median preschool teacher earnings are about $10,000 less than the wages of kindergarten teachers. The report found that even with the same level of education, the wages of preschool teachers fluctuate depending on their work setting. Libby Daggett is with the U.S. Department of Education. She wants more states to place greater emphasis on early childhood learning to close the gap between preschools and K-12 programs.
In states where preschool has not been a part of the K-12 system, it's much more of a stepchild. And I think there's a gulf between the K-12 system and the early learning system. So, you know, our vision for the future is that learning begins at birth, that we have highly qualified and well-paid teachers working in every classroom, even for infants and toddlers, because that's when the brain development is even more important, and that this be either a part of schools or closely linked with schools so that there's an easy transition for children and for families.
In South Dakota, preschool programs vary widely, from district-sponsored programs to community-based preschools. Mary McCorkle is president of the South Dakota Education Association. McCorkle wants preschool funding to become an issue discussed on a state level.
We have struggled for a long time with K-12 funding and the difficulty of attracting and retaining teachers because of low pay. And the legislature has begun to, you know, to work on that through last year's session. And I think that's, you know, that makes it even more challenging for the early childhood teachers as well.
McCorkle said she would also like to see state standards created for preschool programs.
And that's going to do it for this week's edition of Dakota Digest. If you're looking for more radio news of South Dakota Public Broadcasting, visit us online at sdpb.org. Also, be sure to connect with us on social media by liking South Dakota Public Broadcasting and SDPB Sports on Facebook, and by following our Twitter accounts. Our handles are at SODACPB, at SDPB News, at SDPB Sports, and at SDPB. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I am Nate Wack. Have a great weekend, everyone.